Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And we are starting out today by talking about Joey Janela and Sunny Kiss with a storyline that is ongoing, as we said on this podcast that it would be.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing that Joey and Sunny are getting top billing in the podcast this week.
I know.
Well, I was just trying to mix it up a little. I was like, yeah. You know, we've had some of the same people are stealing the big storylines, but
it's true.
Was there okay? I'm going to start with a question that will say to you loud and clear. I didn't pay that much attention. on Twitter, I thought I saw someone saying that this storyline did get referenced on Dynamite. True or false?
It
true.
Did. They showed clips.
They showed clips. When?
Mm-hmm. I don't know, like the middle.
Okay. All right. I must have been doing something else during that part. Oh, maybe it was when the TNT app did crap.
Oh,
out.
Oh, so. I think it was around that time, actually, because I feel like it was sort of near, like, after the Best Friends match. Maybe.
Okay. So I'm blameless.
Yeah.
Cool. I love to hear it. Well, does anyone want to tell us what happened?
I think Leah should.
Joey and Sunny were supposed to wrestle some developmental wrestlers, and they came out and Joey abruptly attacked Sunny, knocked him down, then picked him up and pile drove him. I don't know if that's the right past tense of that
sounds
word.
Right. It really sounds correct. What are you going to say? Pile drived?
They both sound insane. So yeah.
Pull drove. Pull drove him.
Pull drove.
He did something very mean to Sunny.
You should do what they tell people in English as a foreign language classes to do, which is to use the ing form. So he was pile driving him.
Oh yeah, that's right. A good hack.
Yep.
That's very smart. Anyway, so then he left, and then later on Twitter he was like, "Oh, I didn't do it because I was mad at Sunny. I did it because I'm sick of being body shamed by wrestling fans." And I was like, "That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense."
Well, he did used to be a beefier boy, and he does look. He has been not debeefing, but you know, he's been hitting the gym and streamlining the beef.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true. Wait, so fans body shamed him so he attacked Sunny? That's what he claimed?
Yeah.
That makes little sense.
None.
I mean, people do, like, kick the dog when they're upset, I guess. They shouldn't, and it's not a good rationale. It's not like you'd be like, well, the dog should be sorry because I had a bad day at work. Also, I'm not saying Sunny is a dog. It's just an uninvolved party.
Yeah, right. It's absolutely psychotic to me that at no point has anyone tried to link any of the events in the story into a coherent motivation. Like, every single time you're like, I just don't understand why this is happening.
Well, yeah, and I feel like you could kind of easily get to some kind of, like, they're pretty different people, so I feel like you could invent a storyline that would make sense, but...
Well, easily, like, you could just make it clearer that, like, Joey is somehow jealous of some response that Sunny is getting from the fans, or, you know,
right.
You just have to have
You could
some...
even do the body shaming stuff if it's like, Sunny's got a great ass and like everyone talks about it and it's making me feel bad about myself, you know, something
Absolutely.
Stupid.
And you don't need that much of a little backstage skit to make it clear that it's like, oh, I'm jealous of your rockin' bod. Like, you know, it doesn't... We are asking for a little more than we're getting, but it's wrestling. We're not asking for that much.
Like, right. It's like literally a 60-second skit is all it's going to take.
I mean, when you look at the things that happen in wrestling that like we act like they painted the Michelangelo. Okay. This episode is actually fucking canceled.
We're actually fine. We're doing fine. We've been doing fine the whole time.
Yeah, as always, we're doing absolutely great.
August is treating us amazing.
Yeah, it's bummer summertime, but I did while I was thinking about this, I did get into a classic little, you know, rumination about the psychology of heels, and I was thinking about other heels and being like, do we know like why they're heels? Do we know why they turned heel? Do we know like why they treated other people badly as they became heels? And the general answer, I mean, we could get into specifics, is like kind of yes. Like, there's lots of heels where it's like, oh, he's just power hungry. But I feel like we're getting more, like, you know, character work about it. Mm-hmm. And with Joey and Sunny, it's like there's a lot of notes to the story that I'm like, I don't know what I was supposed to take away from that. Like, if we look back at that waiting room segment where they had, like, the weird hug and made up, it's like, Joey Janela, you tell me, like, what was going through your character's head at that moment. Like, were you running a little sub-program scam, or were you actually like, no, I'm going to try to be nice, but now actually I can't? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's bad. And it is interesting to think about the psychology of heels generally, because, like, I do feel like a lot of it is, like, everyone wants to win the title, but heels want to win it at any cost, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And but that doesn't seem to be Joey's deal, like, at all, so.
No, we don't really know what he wants to win. Like, the good bot award.
I guess.
And there's a lot of competition, Joey, it's true.
Yeah, unfortunately, wrestling is probably not a great place to be if you have a little body image problems.
But except that lots of them do seem to. I guess it creates them.
Yeah.
And also is a bad environment for them, which is quite classic.
Mm.
Well, I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah, but not to reopen it, but it's just, when you think about it, Joey's entire character has been like this. Like, he's the bad boy, but he's been supposedly a face this whole time. And he's never really, has he ever really cared about any of the titles? Like, he really hasn't. He hasn't seemed, and he's, like, big into all the indie wrestling, but he hasn't really seemed like he cared that much about AEW stuff. So it is kind of like, outside of Sunny, like, what do you want? Like, what is your thing? Why? I mean, I guess it makes sense that the bad boy is now a heel. Maybe he's just, like, being like, I can't be a face anymore, and this is just how he's doing it. But, I mean, man needs to go with Jungle Boy to, character work school.
And he is giving us much more. It's like he needs to go to like writing school or something.
Yeah, like character, like, development school, because, like, he talks fine on camera mostly.
It seems like if he knew what he was trying to tell us, he would maybe be able to do it. But I just remain unconvinced that, like, there's a clear arc that has been, you know, thought out behind the scenes.
Yeah. So, and he could definitely, like, turn heel by playing up his whole dirtbag stuff, because that's, like, what he's got, you know, going for him. But I feel like, and I feel like there are, like, elements of that, like, when it was, like, he's ditching Sunny to go to titty bars or whatever. But, like, it hasn't been coherent at all.
Yeah.
I also just don't know that it's that effective to have, like, Sunny's whole thing right now only be that it's, like, I don't know why you're doing this to me.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I would like a little more of a, like, reaction there. I don't know. But
definitely.
I guess the only reason it's like, if they put it on Dynamite, which I always knew they did, of course, then it's like, presumably you want us to keep our eye on it, and you're going to do something with one or both of them. So I guess we'll see what that something is.
Yeah, true. There must be something coming up on, I guess, now that they're going to have Rampage going, there's going to be a lot more television hours.
We all say happily. We say happily the and with Allie's anticipation.
The teacher is giving us extra homework.
I, of course, I love the homework, but I am really tired this
I know. And this, like, Friday night at 10 p.m. thing is just, like, a bad time slot. Like, when Dynamite, I can't watch things that I have to remember at 10 p.m.
They're not going to get me live.
Weekend.
No.
I think they're going to get me live tomorrow, just because... how this week
is
going to go.
Tomorrow. Good God.
But I don't think they're going to get me.
I was thinking it was a week from now.
I know.
It starts tomorrow.
It starts tomorrow. Yeah. I don't think that they're going to get me live often, which does lead to the same problem that I was having when I was watching on Saturdays, which is, like, when it was on Saturdays, is I would watch it Sunday hungover. And it's wrestling is not something you should be watching in the cold light of day when you're, like, not in the mood.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to see how they overcome our barriers to entry for Rampage. Okay, let's get into, like, a big chunky set of storylines. So this week on Dynamite, the Young Bucks fought Dante Martin and the Seidel brothers, So that was a big brother brawl, which I like. I always like thinking about how many brothers we have running around AEW. So that's fun. And that was it was a big showcase for Dante Martin,
yeah.
who was doing just some of the jumpiest, bounciest, flippiest stuff I've ever seen.
It was cool shit.
Yeah, it was great.
He did a lot of stuff that took my breath away. And we had last night we were watching it with my friend Tracy as well, who had never watched it live.
Oh yeah.
And she think? And it was such a good match to open with. Because she was oh, shit. Oh, that's cool. And I was like, yes, yes, this is very cool.
That's cool.
And I guess actually everybody in that match was a natural flippy boy. But Dante Martin was just really, it was like a real standout. Like, we don't get to see you that much, and you're really coming out hot situation. So that was great. And afterwards, I don't remember how this happened, but I think Christian Cage just came out because he wanted to.
Yeah, he did.
And yeah, great, great. Came out and basically ended up issuing a challenge to Kenny for his Impact title. So he said, we're going to fight it all out. I think he said that, right? He was like, we're going to fight for your title at All Out.
They announced it, Excalibur announced it earlier, and then he confirmed it and said again
but then he was like, I can still challenge for your, I talked to Tony Khan, I like the vibe where he was like, I actually went and saw the principal and we're gonna I challenge you for your Impact belt on Rampage tomorrow. And then Jurassic Express also came out, and they said that Principal TK also said that they can challenge the Young Bucks for their titles, which is also going to happen on Rampage,
No, that's going to be on Dynamite next week.
Okay, great. Well,
I did think Jungle Boy did a better job talking in that little come out thing.
He did.
Many times.
I noticed he did another weird little hand on Christian's shoulder at one point where I again was like, someone told you that you need to use your body in promos and you aren't quite sure what to do with it, but you're really trying. And then, so then the question, I guess, is is Kenny going to lose the Impact belt soon? And what are the implications for Kenny Christian match at All Out, which we've been discussing? I said yesterday that I was really hopeful that they are going to zag us.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like that's something that maybe multiple people are hoping for.
I'm really hoping. I mean, I'm trying not to be a Debbie Downer about it because I'm so excited that we're going and we've been looking forward to it so long. And I keep being it's going to be fun. They're going to do something. But I keep hoping that they're going to zag, especially because they are making a big deal on social media of him challenging Kenny for the Impact titles.
Yeah.
But they haven't done a graphic or anything for All Out yet. So I keep being what if something happens with the Impact thing and it gets, and that's where they're going to swerve.
And I do think I wouldn't understand it if it actually was just challenges for Impact title and then does get to challenge for AEW title. To me, that would feel really repetitive. So I don't know what's going to happen. They've really got me on my little tippy toes, but I'm so tired that I keep listing over. you've got me, but I'm sleepy.
I know. And everything they keep announcing for All Out is just I didn't want that. You know, it's just not my favorite stuff. So this one's a little bummer. So it would be nice if it zagged somehow. I would like it if Christian did take the Impact title off him, and then if we started to see Kenny's fall, if the belt started to get taken off him, I feel like it would be good timing for that to happen if they were going to have Hangman challenge him at what's the name of the next one? Full Gear.
Yeah.
In November.
I guess that, to me, it would be a pretty clear indication that the storyline is moving along in some way, which I do trust them. They clearly are thinking about it and doing some stuff, and they know what people want, and I get it, it's long-term booking, blah 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 blah, but Kenny losing a title to me would be a real little
yeah
da-ding, okay, we're going somewhere
totally.
So that would be exciting.
That would be
so I want to go somewhere.
And I do feel very anticipatory of that about that because I know that Kenny is going to do like Unhinged really well. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah. yeah. Well, he's already he given crumbling. His half of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be good.
I know. And yeah. it's going to be great to watch Matt and Nick navigate that as well.
I know. I'm so curious about where their storylines are going to diverge and if they're going to diverge. And
yeah,
I'd love it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I will say, Kenny's still rocking his Deadwood facial hair. And I feel like
it's hot.
It is hot. He's way hotter with it than without, which I feel very strange. There's not very many people you can say that about, I don't think. No. But
it's his best look. And I hope that he's getting that feedback, actually. And that's why he's doing his prolonged bit where he doesn't get around to shaving it.
Doesn't know how to shave it. I feel like, you know, it's like some faces are just like meant for sort of certain time periods. Like it looks more yeah. natural. And I feel like he's just found his like weird
his
wild
era.
West yeah like 150 years ago or whatever.
Yeah, it does it has been quite illuminative where it's like, oh, suddenly I'm seeing you in sepia, Kenny, and you yeah. make more sense.
Right.
Or should it's I like, say Tyson.
Just a classic Days of Vaudeville kind of look to him. So
I know. Wow, I would love to watch Kenny in a little like old-fashioned what am I thinking of, I guess like Marx Brothers sketch.
Yeah, or kind of like a silent movie. I feel yeah, like it would just like very broad facial expressions. And
yeah.
A lot of wrestlers would do really good at that. Because
yeah.
They're
kind of
really
a Charlie
good
Chaplin
at, you know,
joint.
The,
yeah.
The back row kind of acting.
Yeah.
The back row. They're really good at not doing good acting.
And acting for being in a very large arena where the people in the back need to see it.
Oh, man. So... And then less interesting news, they did switch the tunnels around on us this week. So the heel tunnel was on the opposite side, which I do think should be illegal
yeah.
because even I noticed it. And I don't notice those tunnels, guys. But I thought something feels wrong.
It was I was like a little kid who like couldn't understand what had happened. Like I just kept being like, they're coming out of the wrong tunnels. And Sarah kept being like,
Mommy.
Yeah, it's clear that everything's reversed, so just think of that as the heel tunnel. And I was like, but it's not the heel tunnel.
It's the wrong side. And yeah, and then also it's just keeping an eye on this Brandon storyline, because Brandon did seem really miserable, but then this week was being like, I'm really happy with how my life has worked out.
I know.
Yeah, that was weird.
I know. I thought his storyline was going to a place where he was going to be the first one to crack.
Yeah.
And now
yeah.
he's just like, actually, I've been fully subsumed into their thing and I have no independent thoughts.
But he did also get beaten up like a lot more this week. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever.
It was just kind of like, maybe you guys aren't doing anything on purpose with this Brandon thing. Maybe it's just like he's doing bad acting and I don't know. But
who can never whatever. Be sure in the world of wrestling? Eva Luno and Stu Grayson also fought the Good Brothers for their Impact belts and lost. But more interestingly, because I didn't really expect them to win, only Dark Order Papa Colt Cabana came out to support them. Yeah. None of the other Dark Order members, because the Dark Order is in a big fight.
Very upsetting.
When he came out of the tunnel and then was looking behind him, Colt, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to cry. I was
Where
just moaning
everybody?
On the couch.
It's so sad. The Dark Order, like, breaking up and all that is just, like, one of the more upsetting things they could have done, I think.
And in that sense, it is, I think it is potentially a good storyline because I'm, like, there's emotional resonance. I'm, like, I have been in friend groups, too, where we don't agree about how to handle an issue with a mutual friend. That is really difficult.
That's true, yeah.
In time, I will need to see them resolve this. I'm going to have to see them work through it. But
it'll be real effective if Hangman turns around, rides back in, like, you know, brings the gang back together, and then they all... take the belt off Kenny. That would
be great.
And
then they make up and they have a big hug on stage.
Exactly.
On ring stage. In the ring. Ring where we watch wrestling. Frankie Kazarian also showed up for this match and I really liked this. Who did he haul out of the
Brandon
ring? It was Brandon. That was a great development for me because he's just been dive bombing and then himself disappearing. But this was like, for me, was full like hawk, like got a mouse and then dragged it away to eat it. And I love that. He's becoming quite animalistic.
Yeah, it was great. And Colt punched Brandon right in the face, too, at a certain point where I was just like, yeah, like, you guys pick Brandon off. That's great. Drag it
off. Brandon, head this stooge. Is all...
Brandon.
This is all that awaits you if you continue to align yourself with cheaters. Cheating isn't fun and it isn't good.
That's right. What are you getting out of this, Brandon? They don't even let you do anything.
It's true.
They're just mean to you.
Yeah.
We also had... I can't say it again. I can't again say, but I will. I have no memory of this. But... Mira was... Oh, no. Mira was going to fight Fuego del Sol next week?
Oh, yes. Possibly on Rampage? Rampage. Let me check the card really quick. I think it might be.
There's so many shows to try and, like,
I know, like, and it's just going to get worse.
What's going to be happening.
Yeah, it's tomorrow. Mira versus Fuego is tomorrow.
Okay.
I will say one time on Dark, Fuego was wrestling and someone in the little YouTube comments on the side called him Fuego del Jobber, which, like, I've never been able to forget, unfortunately. So every time I see him, I'm just like, oh yeah, Fuego del Jobber.
I feel
poor
like
guy.
By not watching Sammy Guevara's vlog, I've missed most of Fuego del Sol's storyline, I think. And I kind of know it from our friends who do follow the vlog. So I know that he wants to be signed and has not been. But I'm like not really understanding the storyline or who he is aligned with.
I do feel like his whole thing where it's like if he wins the match, he gets signed. But he's fighting Miro is just like feels mean because it's like, well, he won't win. So like just playing with him and his little feelings.
I think that's their thing where they just Charlie Brown him at all times. Like AEW is Lucy in the football and Fuego falls for it every single time.
Sending the gladiator out to fight a bunch of lions and being like, you can have your freedom if you kill them or something.
Yeah, and I'm sending you out with a straw that is going to be your sword.
Your tiny body.
Yeah.
You have only your own tiny body to protect. The wrestling creed.
So you have to tell us about all of the clips you watch of Miro on WWE.
Well, I know. I'm on a really dark journey this week that I keep trying to get my friends to like bite and like deep discuss with me, and actually no one wants to acknowledge it, discuss it, or join me on it, which is not understandable, but I've just been watching a bunch of old WWE clips of Miro when he was Rusev, and I've just been watching his appearances on Total Divas, the WWE show, like reality show that the female wrestlers, I don't know if it's still on.
Oh, is that what that
do or okay. used to do? Oh yeah, oh yeah. You didn't know about Total Divas?
No, and I didn't ask for clarification or Google it or anything. I was just sounds like a reality show. If it was in August, I probably would be. But
yeah, no, I understand. This is my road to walk alone. I understand that, but
gonna put on that Green Day song and just like sit in your room
in
the dark.
I walk a lonely road, the only road I have ever known.
It's going in the cold open this week.
Oh, no, and I'm never doing good singing. It's just very funny. It's like it's because Lana, his wife, is on the show, so he is like peripherally on the show. They're both insane. Like I previously, I think, have said, I don't really want Lana to come to AEW. I don't care. Now I'm like, yes, Rusev's hot wife, Lana, should come and do promos with him because they're both fucking bananas. It's just like these great clips of like, they're searching for houses in Bulgaria together. He wants to buy a little cottage that they can keep a goat and chickens in the yard of. She wants to buy like a big, beautiful, not beautiful to me, but like that's her impression is that it's a beautiful new build or whatever. And he's just like telling her how ugly it is, but not in a mean way. It's like he's just totally disinterested. I think I'm kind of obsessed with him. He like gets in a, he like just pulls one of her friends aside at one point to be like, you should be nice to Lana.
Really?
Yeah. Where he's like, I know she gets overexcited. The friend is just like, she keeps texting me like her business plans at 2 a.m. Like she can't be doing that. And he's just like nodding. He's like, she gets very excited. But just turn your notifications off.
He's like, we're all dealing with it.
It's like, who do you think is in the bed with her at 2 a.m. listening to these ideas? He's just like, really, he has a real out there vibe, which I didn't fully appreciate before. So I'm enjoying that.
Look onto some of those clips. So I do find the like peripherally on a reality show that's not about them to be like a very funny role for anyone to be in, really. So
he has a little bit of a vibe too, where it's like on one of the clips, he basically is like, they're talking about like he wants to have babies. And she's like, we're not having babies in front of all their friends. They get a, you know, it's a classic reality show thing. And then she's like, well, I'm not getting pregnant right now. And, you know, if you want to have a baby, then she can be your surrogate. She points at another wrestler. I'm like, I don't think Nia Jax is going to be your surrogate. Like, Nia Jax is like, I won't. And then he's, Miro is like, I don't believe in surrogacy. And she's like, what do you mean you don't believe in surrogacy? And he's like, the science isn't there. I was like watching it and I was like, I think that he's trolling her and I think he is a huge troll, but I'm not 100% sure, which is kind of a sexy little edge to walk.
Yeah. So I'm into that. How long ago was this? They don't have kids now, do they?
5 years ago or something. It was quite a while ago. No, and they don't have kids. So what's going on over there? Maybe they don't want them. Anyway, they are both bananas. And anyway, I also saw on Twitter just someone speculating about who was going to ultimately defeat Miro. And they were saying, I want to see a Pac Miro showdown and that Pac could defeat him. And I actually was like, I see that really clearly. Sexy. I think that would work great.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is like when I was trying to think who would defeat him, it was like, I don't know. There isn't anyone. But yeah, that's
perfect.
Yeah.
I also have been struggling to try and conceptualize of anyone defeating him, but that was a great suggestion.
It's a really good. I don't think it must be not it must because obviously it's whatever, but like I probably for like Full Gear because I think that they're doing Pac versus Andrade for All Out, but I just got so horny at the idea of Pac versus Miro that I'm like, I wish that was happening now.
I know, but give us something in All Out.
I think it's gonna happen. I don't know why. I have no idea why. I am now like that's no. Right.
Sometimes
Tony Khan thinks so too.
Right. Sometimes somebody says something and it rings a bell in your spine somewhere where you're like, yep, yep. I've onboarded that entirely.
I know. Like it's like catch me a year from now being like, it's crazy that never happened, even though there was no evidence that it would, but
fantasy book don't fantasy believe.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. We're just fantasy booking, but it's true that I am fantasy believing. So actually I'm not following the rules. This week AEW is in Pittsburgh, which is Britt's hometown. Mm-hmm. So
Britt'sburg.
So we got a great Britt Baker promo in front of the Dynamite crowd, kind of amping up her Rampage match versus Red Velvet. And it was really like sweet. As always, when the crowd is cheering for Britt, I'm like, it's true. She's the best heel in the world.
Can't help it. I know. And her parents were there, which I think is very cute when adults' parents come and watch them and stuff. So I was like very into it.
No, it's always very sweet when the family show up.
I think it's so funny that Britt is supposed to be a heel and she gets cheered more than any baby face in anywhere.
Yeah. Well, like, and it's also very...
Sorry, the fact that they had towels that they were waving was like insane. That they had Brit towels.
Yeah, they had their little terrible towels, and because that is a football thing, right? I know that.
I think it's the Pittsburgh Steelers.
It is.
Just the name of a team from Pittsburgh.
I don't know. It's the Steelers, and there's a thing where they wave the towels, which I know for normal reasons, so don't worry about that. What was I gonna say, guys? Oh, just that Britt does have a broken wrist, but she is gonna wrestle tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's a little bit concerning, I guess. Like, I'm like, interested. Can you do that? I guess we'll see.
It's interesting because it's like, obviously, I was about to say the dumbest thing in the world. Obviously, she didn't break her wrist on purpose. Nailed it. But I mean,
I assume it's a real broken wrist. I mean, it is, right? It is.
I'm pretty sure it is. I think it is. Because we saw, it's like, it was a thing where we saw in the match, like, my wrist. Like, but anyway, right. The plan must have been for her to fight in Pittsburgh. So I assume they're going to do something a little funky, goofy with the match because she can't just do normal wrestling with a broken wrist. But I'm not a doctor, so I don't know.
Which, is it her right hand or her left hand?
No, absolutely no. Right hand, I think. But maybe not. Could be left. I think
it feels like right to me when I'm trying to picture which hand had the cast on it, but I could be wrong. And there's a 50-50 shot, so.
I am picturing a situation like when you're showering with a cast and you hold it outside the shower curtain and like awkwardly try to do everything. That's just wrestling. just wrestling with one arm up in the air.
She's going to tape a plastic bag around it before she gets in the ring. Great.
That'll keep it safe. It'll be funny to see if they do weird moves to like avoid her hand.
Yeah. Or
left side.
Yeah, weird moves. Or I was like thinking like narratively, like funky stuff.
Right. Someone
I don't really
breaks
know.
Something up. Whatever.
Sure. No. But I don't really see this being a possibility. But do you think that she could lose?
No.
No.
No, I don't think so. Not to Red Velvet on Rampage.
Yeah. Like. Not tonight. Not to Red Velvet.
Not yet. I mean,
no.
AEW seems to like having belts stay on someone for a very long time. And I think that when she eventually loses it, she's going to lose it to Thunder Rosa. But they've fought.
I think it could be Chris, too. But, I mean, you have more of a shot of being
right. I think Chris is going to get it sometime. But I think that, like the Kenny Hangman thing, they're going to really like the optics of Thunder Rosa
stretch
being the one to take it off Britt.
Yeah.
But I think that they're going to want her to keep it for a while. So, I mean, my prediction is that I think she's going to do Chris at All Out. Somebody else, not Nyla, because she fought Nyla too recently, maybe like Jade at Full Gear. And then she'll lose it at Revolution to Thunder Rosa. So okay, hit me up in February.
I'll believe that Jade is going to wrestle a full match when I see it happen.
I know, seriously.
And I, like,
Jade, the wrestler that never wrestles. It's like a children's book.
I can't repeat the same stuff that I say every week, but like we saw her do a squash match this week, and I was still just like, I barely see you do anything.
Yeah.
So I will also say, obviously, I love Chris. And I think she's great, and I love her with Best Friends. I don't think she's ready,
no,
personally, to be the champion. I think, like, her promos have gotten better, but she's still not, like, for me, at the place with someone like Britt where it's like, I'm never nervous when you're talking because I know you can do it, and I know you can pull it out. And with Chris, I'm like, Chris, I'm going to need you to focus up. Give it all
Mama's
you got.
Mama's very nervous. You're like, standing in the wings.
Yeah.
Yeah,
energy.
I'm a real
dance mom
energy.
Yeah,
and Britt's best, like Britt is completely able to do it by herself. Where all of Chris's best promos have been with like Best Friends or like
the
little bits she does with Ty Conti. Like she's better with someone else, and so I don't think she's
ready. But Thunder Rosa also, like Britt, is like can do it herself.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
like you're just like she's got it. I'm not worried about like what she's gonna do if you get her in front of a camera. So to me, it makes a lot more sense if she gets the belt first.
Eddie Kingston, every time he does commentary, which he's been doing a lot lately on Elevation, every time he's like, Chris Statlander is gonna get the belt in 2 years. And at first I was like why in 2 years? That's so weird. But the more I've been thinking about it, I'm like, he's not wrong. That probably is the right timeline for her.
Well, I love the idea that Eddie just saw that on one of their big planning whiteboards and he's like, I'll just say it in commentary. I'm sure it's fine.
I'm sure they have everything planned out for the next 2 years on whiteboards, just like, locked in.
I hope they have a lot of it at least sketched out. I have to assume. that they do. Because
like, nothing could go wrong. No one would get injured. We can count on all of those.
Yeah, but they've got to have some. I mean, this is back to it's like I just like more details about how they do the planning, because they have to have some that. Like, okay, these are the long-term arcs that we're thinking of. Of course, we might have to change them, but like we're hoping that these broad sketches will work. Okay, so we this week have a very special segment brought to you courtesy of the fact that we found out that new AEW hire Malachi Black has a Tumblr, which is one of his old wrestle names, TommyN.tumblr.com. You can go visit it yourself. Where he does anyone want to describe crazy. What he's up to?
Well, I mean, he's up to a lot of things, but finding out that he has a Tumblr in 2021, it just feels like he might
a
as well have like
a professional man.
Yeah, we like should... in his how old is he? He's definitely in his 30s at least.
We
it's
should
like
also
he has a live journal or something. Like, what? Yeah, what's going on in this internet?
We should definitely also talk about how it got discovered, because that is the funniest story.
I think well, first of all, I think it is. Like, for some wrestling fans, has been long-term knowledge, clearly, because that is what came out. But basically, someone, like, re-blogged him being like, I don't need to hear this from, like, a Tommy End roleplay Tumblr.
Well, first though, he was like, oh, Tommy, or Malachi Black, I like your cute little jogging shorts.
And then
Tumblr user... Tommy End blocked that and was like, actually, they're Muay Thai shorts, but I wouldn't expect you to know that.
No, I wouldn't expect you to understand that. It's crazy. Yeah, and then they were like, you're a roleplay blog. And then he was like, who's going to tell this guy?
Bananas.
So we cruised through his Tumblr. It is just a delicious mix of skull aesthetic posts that like it's like the kind of posts that someone at AEW was like, okay, what do you want the video and like your entrance to be like, and he was like, I'll send you some links. I'll send you some links and you work off of those.
He's like, you just scroll back in my Tumblr and you'll get the gist
you'll see
what
exactly
I'm looking
what's
for
going on. Yeah.
But then also just gift sets of himself.
Yeah,
which that part's relatable. I'm like, yeah, oh my God. That's right.
If someone was making gift sets of me, sure, maybe I would reblog them.
Yeah, if I were a wrestler and people were making gif sets, I would definitely like be on Tumblr looking at them, but I would also have the dignity to not reblog them myself or to have a Tumblr as a wrestler.
True. I would maybe from a private Tumblr, exactly. If I wanted to keep them somewhere for myself.
It's like, why did you keep them somewhere for myself?
So I could go back and look at myself. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I might want to. I could want to do that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought it would be a fun segment. If we have a list of AEW wrestlers here, we are going to cruise through them. And you guys are going to tell me, if they had a Tumblr, what kind of Tumblr you think it would be. Okay.
Okay. I'm very ready.
Whew. Okay. So I've got Brian Cage.
Fitbler. Every post starts. It starts with his percent body fat, his what workout he's done today, and then a very badly framed gym selfie of like some part of his body that he worked on, but it's like it's in the mirror and it's like it's terrible, and then like he's got like a million notes that are like, good job bro, good job bro.
And do you think it's a very successful blog or no?
In his community, he is well received.
He's got like 100 followers, but they're enthusiastic.
Yeah.
Gotcha,
yeah.
gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, love that. Chuck Taylor.
I think that he would start a Tumblr and he would have an idea for something he was going to do, like whether it be like movie reviews or like something, and then he would abandon it in 2 weeks.
That's right.
And then never he would be like, oh yeah, I did that, I don't know the password to that, and he'd be like, what? That was like, it was like good movie reviews, and he's like, yeah, I don't know the password anymore.
That feels right. Cody Rhodes.
I feel like Cody Rhodes would be like the most like basic, vaguely patriotic GIF says, just like, I don't know, dark stuff.
Yeah, I also think it would be like unnecessary comments on other people's posts, like he would reblog it and be like, why aren't we talking about this?
He'd be a classic Tumblr.com blog that's always reblogging things that have been the front page story on every major newspaper and being like, why is the media not covering this?
I see you people not reblogging this post.
I also
I feel
think
like a lot of inspirational quotes from Cody, too.
But like wrongly attributed quotes.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
Abraham Lincoln. White woman's Instagram territory.
Oh, yeah.
I also think that we're in uncritical Marvel fanboy territory there.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Where it's like he's not liking, he's like mad about posts where they're like Marvel is funded by the military industrial complex.
He's like, I can't believe you hate our troops.
Okay, I feel like these two have to, these guys got to know each other on Tumblr, which is exciting to me. Darby Allin and Ethan Page.
Oh, they do know each other on Tumblr for They've sure. They send each other asks that are like sort of inappropriate, but like in a weird way, like a little bit aggressive.
Where you're like, I wouldn't have sent that off and on, but
right. I also think that Darby and Malachi Black reblog from each other because their aesthetics overlap. Not entirely. They have different blogs, but there are moments where they reblog from each other and they're both like, yes, that is the skull that needs to be on my blog right now.
Absolutely.
Also, Darby, he'd have like a lot of skateboarding stuff. And I feel like his blog would be like way less aesthetic heavy than you would think, though, because like every time I go on his stupid Instagram stories, it's always like, here we are riding a mechanical bull again or whatever. It's like, you're leading an interesting life out there, Darby Allin. And it's sort of more extroverted and like rambunctious than I would have necessarily thought.
I can also see him having like a Tumblr layout that like is wandering into that MySpace zone where it's like it automatically plays music when you go there and you're just like, I fucking hate this. But also it's crazy that you put time into engineering it.
And it's like red text on a black background and it's unreadable.
Yeah. Okay, let's skip around a little. Kenny Omega.
The Full weebiest anime. Weeb to ever weeb.
I agree.
Just like weird anime fan art that's like like Tumblr's banned porn, but Kenny's getting around it a little bit, I think. Yeah. Like
Kenny potentially is going to get in trouble at some point in his time on Tumblr for the fact that people thought he was Japanese. But he
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he's, I agree.
But they're like, you're white.
Yeah.
And he's like, I never said I wasn't white. I'm a Japanese citizen and I speak Japanese is all. Which are both true about Kenny Omega. So.
Yeah.
I also think that he would have deeply niche video game memes to the point that like nobody, only like six people really understand what he's talking about. But those six people are like, that's fucking funny.
Yeah. I can see that for sure. Lance Archer.
I don't know. I put him on the list, but now I'm completely.
I know. I thought you. I said it because so I was like, ready. She must have something good for him.
I know.
It's like, I don't have any sense of Archer's inner life, to tell you the truth.
It's so.
Which is, of course, what a Tumblr is.
I know. He seemed. You know what? I think we should skip this one because I thought I was going to be ready.
Well, you know
what?
That's a listener write-in. You let us know what you think. Matt Jackson.
All right, I put him on the list especially just to say that he doesn't have a Tumblr. He only has an Instagram, and he makes fun of everybody who's on Tumblr. And yet, he posts screenshots of Tumblr memes to his Instagram.
Oh, my God. It's right.
It's right, man. And it's disgusting.
Matt? Oh, I can't
it's
stay
bad
mad
behavior,
at you.
Matt.
I can't stay mad at you. I'm interested if you... Matt Seidel?
Full yoga, nothing but the weirdest yoga poses, and then these weird, like, stream of consciousness explanations of drug trips that he's taken when he's been in, like, India, and he's like, and I saw things, and I've, things became clear. And you're just like, I don't know what this means. I don't know what any of this means.
I also think he's wandering into sexual overshare territory.
Oh, yeah.
On the regular.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And like though that he like has posted a few like pictures and he has some like thirsty people who are encouraging him. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to fuck Matt Seidel, but I'm just
no.
Somebody does. Right. Yeah. Somebody definitely does.
Some freaks out there.
MJF.
Do you remember when we were in into Bon Appetit, and Alex Delaney was like, I used to have, I was very popular on Tumblr because I had a
men's fashion blog. That's right.
MJF is in that community. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Do we think he has a tag called Women?
But it's, I think for MJF, I totally can see that. But then it wanders into, I believe, musical Broadway show territory sometimes. Oh, so yeah. It's a real mix. I think that's right. Of like, it, so it's, yeah. You start following him for one of those things, and then you're very confused about the other.
You're like, oh, there's also menswear here. Okay.
He's getting Anons all the time that are like, I hate this half of your content. And he's like, I don't give a fuck.
That's right. That's extremely right.
Great. Orange Cassidy?
I think he is also in Chuck territory where he starts a blog and abandons it. But in the meantime, it's memes that are not funny. And nope, but like almost to the level of being boomer memes sometimes. Nothing is tagged. He's never tagged anything in his life. And he doesn't add to posts. He just reblogs shit that does not make sense.
Yeah. I do also see, though, I see he stops posting, but he doesn't stop scrolling.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, Chuck is like, a Tumblr never heard of it. And OC is like, oh, I'm still on there. I'm just not actively.
He only posts every time a new Fast and Furious movie comes out. And then his Tumblr's really active for like 4 days.
Yeah, real hotbed. Abaddon.
Nothing but like absolute insane, like bloody, gory stuff, and like absolute just piles of flesh kind of the thing where you're like, this needs to be banned from Tumblr, never mind female presenting nipples. Abaddon's block.
Yeah, she's like definitely pushing the line of like stuff that's getting reported for sure.
Yeah, like somebody's like
bodies that have been cut in half.
Is this real? Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. For sure. And yeah. Great. And then this is a good final one. Leva Bates.
She probably does have a Tumblr.
That's what I was gonna say. She's the only one on this list that actually runs a Tumblr. Let's try to find it. Part of the community, understands how it works. Has had one since 2007, knows what Destiel is. Like, absolutely. Yep. Nowhere
to go. I will say, part of the community knows how it works is chilling. I'm like, leave.
Chilling. She has one, like, under, like, a pseudonym, and she's just probably friends with everyone we know.
Oh, my God. We're in a group chat with Leva Bates.
Oh, God.
All right. Okay. Well, that was very fun. I think you guys did a great job. Hope we never encounter any of those people on Tumblr.com. Wrestlers who are on Tumblr.com, go away. Yeah, or except for Malachi Black, who can stay. I will commit.
Either go away or identify yourself immediately so we can block you.
Yeah.
I do keep thinking with his whole, like, oh, they're whatever, martial arts shorts. Not that you would understand. And Allie was like, he's like a teen yelling at his mom. It's fashion, but you wouldn't understand. I've been thinking about that, like, constantly since I said it.
Oh, man. I love all of our wrestlers who are hanging out at Hot Topic together. I don't know why, but I do think I'm like, Lance Archer maybe sometimes would wander into Darby Allin and Malachi Black's Tumblr verse, and I think, but it would be like via like metal stuff, like heavy metal, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think originally when I added him to the list, I was like, oh yeah, he'd be like in that realm, but he would also be like screamo. But then I was just thinking, I all of a sudden when I went to go say it out loud, I just thought about Mary, our friend Mary, being like, Lance Archer is like really kind and like cartoon nice on Twitter, and I was like, oh no, what if I don't know his vibe at all, and I'm just I'm just basing this on the fact that I like his theme song that goes Everybody Dies.
Yeah, well, that does take us into like emo territory though, where it's like sometimes like people in the emo screamo community are like almost intersecting with like live laugh love stuff, but it's just a different spin on it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So okay, this week on Dynamite, we had two trios matches, so we already talked about one of them, but we also saw Yuta, Chuck, and OC fight Matt Hardy and Private Party. So we can talk about that match, but I think we should also talk about what is happening in the world of trios. Are we going to get a belt? Are we going to get a tournament? What are the hot takes?
They're doing a lot of trios. It does seem like maybe they're heading towards a belt, although I would prefer a tournament for sure.
Yeah. I would love to them to get, like, dweeby little medals that they can show off, but I don't know that I really want a trios belt.
It just seems like too many belts. I mean, it'd be fine. Like, I wouldn't object, but, like...
Yeah, I don't not want it. I don't know if I think they, like... They don't have enough really established trios that it's, like, that would be sustainably competitive. Mm-hmm. You would have to keep... People would have to keep, like, rotating in to be like, okay, now we're doing trio stuff.
Yeah, now we're a trio,
for the purpose of getting the trios belt. But a tournament seems really fun. And I hope that we do that.
Yeah, that could be very cool.
Yeah, and it was a really fun match. Like, Yuta, Chuck, and OC, it's, like, really clear that, like, when they do the trio stuff, they have some trio spots from, like, Chikara that they haven't done that much on AEW, I think. So it's, like, those, like, you know, bump set spike, like, volleyball-type pins, which I think are pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, right.
Totally. Yeah, they work together really well. I feel like you can tell that they've, like, known each other for quite a while.
Yeah. And I will bring up, in this match, OC and Matt Hardy did a bit where, like, OC was trying to put Matt Hardy's hand in his pocket, which...
And he succeeded, yeah.
Yeah, which he succeeded, and gross, Matt Hardy, get away from my beautiful son. Even if he is putting your hand there on purpose for some reason. But I did get into my head where I was like, sometimes OC is doing anything he can to keep people's hands away from his pockets. But this time he's putting them in the pockets on purpose. What is the magic of the pockets? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's a little characterization I'd like to hear.
If he puts the hands in the pockets, then they, like, trap his opponent. But if the opponent gets them in there against his will, then he loses his power.
They have control of his power.
Right. Yes. Like grabbing Samson by the hair, which is not a thing in the story.
I'm sure that Orange Cassidy thinks all of this through pretty closely.
I'm sure he does. Yeah.
There's got to be a line of continuity if we could just only perceive it.
But yeah, Matt Hardy, I mean, he's a good heel in a sense because I hate him and I want him to be destroyed. So, like, I'll happily boo him, but I don't enjoy having to watch him when I watch my favorites.
I know. And I'm so just sure that it's going to be at OC Matt Hardy at All Out, because there hasn't been a pay-per-view that OC hasn't been in because he's a moneymaker.
He's actually a big star.
Yeah.
That's our son. And so, our biological son. He's a huge star.
And the fact that they really haven't had OC go up against Matt Hardy by himself yet, even though he's been, like, feuding with every other member of the Hardy. I know they had their little bit last night, but it was still a trios thing.
Yeah.
So I think that that's what's going to happen. And on the one hand, I'm like, of course I would like to see my son when we are on All Out. Yeah. I'm going to scream my stupid little face off. But I'm like, if I fantasy booked All Out, it would be going very differently.
I know, seriously. Yeah, I hadn't thought about it until you said that, but when you did, it was like, oh, yeah, that's right, I'm sure they will.
It's very difficult for me to imagine that there are people out there who are like, I want to see Matt Hardy. I know that I understand that in the past they thought that, but I'm like, today? Just let him run the stable. If I didn't have to see him wrestle,
right?
Like, if he was the big number one wrestler in the stable, then I wouldn't be that worried about it. You know what I mean? I would be like, totally, Matt Hardy can do his thing, and I'll watch him do the promos, and I probably would like him a lot more. But I don't really enjoy watching him wrestle, so there's just not a big draw.
Yeah.
I'm afraid. OC did get. I loved the bit in this match where Vicky Guerrera. Oh, was it Chris's match, actually, or was it during
this? It was Chris's match because Vicky was there with Nyla.
let's move on. So the we had the best friends trio, and then right after that Chris and Nyla fought, and Chris dragged all the best friends out with her again, which I loved.
All sweaty and pretending to be in pain. They may have actually been in pain.
They may have some light pain, but pretending to be in even deeper pain than they probably were.
Yes.
And Vicky Guerrero screamed in OC's face, and he hated it.
He tugged his little ears.
Yeah. Absolute height of comedy for me. I was like, that's the funniest and best thing I've ever seen, and I love thinking about him just being like,
he really committed to
it. People yell at me.
He was on the sidelines, like putting his fingers in his ears for like 5 full minutes after that. I feel like the whole rest of the match being like, his little ears were ringing.
I love the idea that he's not afraid of Kenny Omega or any of, like, the big boys. Like, he'll take on anybody, but now he's like, no, Vicky Guerrero is my true group tonight.
I don't want to get yelled at. Yeah. And that was a fine match. I don't really have anything to say about it. Chris did win, but it wasn't that involved or interesting. It was too quick.
Yeah. They didn't do any really cool spots. It seemed like it started and then it was already ending. Chris didn't get to do any of her boops. You know, Nyla didn't really do anything cool. It was just sort of like, oh, this is the obligatory women's match that they're.
Although Chris did her area 451 thing, which was very cool. But yeah, that was the one part. I did like in the trios match how Nyla like ran out and attacked Chris on the sidelines because I like the women getting to, involved, have a little melee.
Although it's like, who wasn't allowed in that melee? I mean,
there were so many people. At one point, JR was like, there's too many men. And I was like, you said it, JR.
From your lips to our ears, JR. Back and forth forever. Too many men. Okay. And then we did see Jericho's fourth labor. He fought Wardlow. He won. He's going to fight MJF. I mean, is there, like, what can be said? Is there anything to say?
It just still seems like such a mistake that they put Wardlow as the fourth one. Like, it just seems like he should have been second, and they should have bumped the guest to 3 and 4. Because, I mean,
Wardlow
it was
looked
fine.
Good,
but
I will say.
I mean,
I mean,
he always looks good.
Titty popping.
Well, yeah, his titties poppin'. Were great, but his hair got stupider and stupider.
I know,
as
it did look dumb.
Something about his little bun kept flopping strangely, and I was like, oh, no. Yeah, I mean, JR, that when they announced it, JR fucking up and saying MJF was going to be the ref electrified us so much that when it was like, no, he's not going to be the ref, he's just going to be ringside, I was like, oh. And then he didn't even do anything that exciting ringside, so I was like, what was the
light
point? Yeah,
just some light cheating. Everyone did some light cheating. Chris Jericho did some light cheating. You know,
how is that any more
usual.
Special than the light cheating exactly?
Yeah,
that we always have.
And then the stipulations for next week are that Jericho has to come out. He can't use his ring music.
Which is a very funny stipulation.
That's a little showboy stipulation. It,
yeah.
Where it's
and you
like,
can't
know,
have your theme
I'll take
music.
The music away from you. and he also can't use his Judas Effect finisher. So I guess the big question really is it's like, is Jericho going to win? And whether he wins or not, is this a retirement match?
I thought that was going to be the stipulation. I thought for sure that MJF was going to be like, it was going to come out in some way that like if Chris Jericho loses, then this was going to be it. And then we were going to be able to see. And now I really don't know because, I mean, on the one hand, like Chris Jericho, as much as I hate him personally, isn't afraid to let people beat him and MJF needs it more than Chris Jericho does, so it's very possible that he'll let MJF win. But on the other hand, like if he lets MJF win, what was the whole point of this? Like what was the whole reason for this thing?
I think there's a this might be like kind of wishful thinking. I think there's a non-zero chance that we get some kind of update to the match stipulations on Rampage, which it like seems like something that they might get a promo in on, but maybe they won't.
In which case, the timing kind of sucks that we're recording tonight. Rampage is going to happen tomorrow, and you people are going to be listening to this Sunday,
and you will
know
future,
what has happened.
They always know more than us, so it's fine. it's interesting because we were talking about, like, is Jericho going to, like, the stipulation will be he has to retire and then he loses. If I were Jericho, I don't think I would want to lose my retirement match.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Like, I don't know if Jericho wants to be like to lose and be forced to retire. Like, he might lose, and I mean, he might be retiring after this stint, because it does seem like with him going to commentary and stuff that and he does look very tired, and the commentary team was really talking it up, like how tired he looked.
I know. it is also, though, I will say again, in the retirement match column, pro. Whatever, you get it. If we assume the crowd will sing Judas, I think they'll probably do a reasonably impressive job. Like, of course, nobody will know the lyrics. They'll be horrible. But the effect of the full crowd doing it, I think, will be very good. Yeah, and that really would be a real retirement match. Like, they all know your song, and they sing it for you, and it's your last match. So in that sense, it would make sense. I don't really know kind of what to believe. I don't mind, because I'm not that invested in any of the storyline at all. So I'm just like, well, surprise me, I guess.
As huge Jericho heads, of course, we'll be real disappointed if he retires.
I got a real mouth breather tone on that in my head. As huge Jericho heads. Obviously, we're all eagerly anticipating. Okay. We are running over an hour, so does anyone have anything they absolutely have to say before we leave?
No.
I do want to hear if anybody has ideas about Lance Archer's Tumblr. Genuinely.
Email us.
Tunnel Talk Pod at gmail.com.
And if you have thoughts about what other wrestlers' Tumblrs would be like, please us know, because we want to hear it, and we'll read them on air, and we'll credit you.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe I also a little light business that we will not be doing a live response episode next week. We have an exciting little interview episode that we'll be airing. So you'll get a little something in your feed, and it'll be out of the ordinary, which is always exciting. These lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. Okay. I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich, and our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod and via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Send the Tumblr headcanons. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. And come back next week.
Unlock big savings while adding style and security to your home with Schlage door locks from Menards. High-quality Schlage Wi-Fi compatible entry locks allow you to lock and unlock your home from anywhere with your phone. Get peace of mind and save big money on all door locks at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.